Jesse and Grace watching Stargate. They made a podcast that's on iTunes that you should rate. Nix is a super fan, Grace is pretty new. Kaylee the Thorgie will help them make it through. Bartender Nick is here to make them drinks. As they reference random pop culture-y things, crying out loud, they'll put a smile on your face. There's no place like Tara with Nix and Grace.
Welcome to episode 360 of There's No Place Like Tara, a Stargate podcast. I'm Nixie.
And I'm Grace. That felt so weird.
I know, it did. It felt really weird.
A Stargate podcast.
And I had like extra like radio voice on.
Yeah.
And
for this particular episode, could we say this a Stargate rewatch podcast?
We could.
How are you today, guys?
Yeah.
This is a Stargate height meter stolen.
Lovingly borrowed.
Lovingly inspired by.
From Malinjo at House of R.
Because we love them.
Love how they do their height meters. So we are.
And they might be the grown-up professional versions of ourselves. The Hollywood versions, if you will.
They are. Because if you listen to the podcast, one is blatantly me and one is blatantly Grace.
So if you enjoy this one, you'll enjoy that one. You've probably already heard that one. But they're amazing. And it's The Ringer. So these people have amazing production value.
Yep.
Anyway, we like the way they do their top tens of things.
Yes. So we're going to
borrow the format.
Exactly.
So, Nixie, what is the format?
So the format is, so this particular episode is, we want to clarify to listeners, these are not the top 10 best moments in all of Stargate.
True.
These are our personal top 10 favorite moments, our personal favorite moments in all of Stargate.
Our version of the AI curated Spotify list of our, you like feeling things? You would like this feel.
Yes.
Do you like science things? You will like this science thing.
So we are going to, we both have our top 10s. We do not know what is on each other's list.
Not at all.
We are going to go each individually announcing what is at each number, and then we will
from
talk
10
about
to
it.
One.
From 10 to 1, and we will talk about it unless the other person says, wait, that is higher on my list.
Yeah. Oh, this is exciting. And we've never done this before.
Nope.
But we're ready. And then we'll hit some honorable mentions at the end of the pod. So, you know, stick around.
Exactly.
Who wants to go first?
Well, I was going to say that we had established a couple rules.
Yes, we did. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So these are our top 10 moments.
Yep.
A moment
could
literally be a moment. It could be a line. It could be a part of an episode.
Uh-huh.
It could also be a plot line.
Fair.
From an episode. The plot line had to be contained within that episode.
Yep.
You couldn't just say Anubis.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
You can't say Daniel dies because it happens so many times.
It happens so many times. You have to be specific.
And we also said at least one moment from each series.
Yes.
even if it's just the one, I'm very curious as to how that works out.
You when you hear my moment from Universe, you'll go, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that was everything, right?
Yeah, I have a couple smuggles.
Okay.
Because it wouldn't be a hype meter without a couple smuggles.
Oh, I went full Grace cleaning on it.
Yeah.
And went, it's trash. Actually, I'm lying. I have like five honorable mentions.
I have three technically written down, but my first pass at this list had like 25 moments on it.
So at some point I made myself not look at a season too closely because I would have too many moments.
And that's another thing we were actually talking about this as we got coffee before this recording.
Yeah.
Is that it almost benefits from not diving into things too quickly.
Yeah.
I made my initial list
off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head. Because those are the moments that have bubbled up to the top.
Yep. I agreed. And those are the ones that I was just like, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this, and I know this.
So there may be, I guarantee you, there are plenty of moments that are not going to be listed today that are like pivotal moments of Stargate.
Feel free to tell us about them.
100%.
In the emails. I would love to hear it. Okay.
Okay. We didn't decide who's going to go first.
We didn't. Let's do this.
I'm going to say you go first because you are the freshly new Stargate expert.
I'll take it. I had a rough week. I'll take this win. Okay. Let's just, we're diving in.
Okay. We're diving in. What's your number 10?
In my number 10 spot.
Yes.
From the original Stargate series.
Okay.
Season one, right in the beginning.
Ooh.
Episode two.
Okay.
The Enemy Within.
Ooh.
Teal'c officially joins the squad. I could cry right now.
Oh my gosh. I do not have this on my list.
Okay. So this was one of the ones that came to my mind immediately, right?
Yeah.
Because So my first approach was I was going to sort of try to rewatch sections of the series. Mm-hmm. There's really no way to do that. No. Unless you have all the time in the world, which is the opposite of what I had. It took us 10 years to watch it the first time through. I don't know what I was thinking, but I watched that first episode and I went, oh, all right, there's no Teal'c here.
Yeah.
All right, Kowalski. Yeah. Oh my God. Nobody knows who Hammond is and what he's all about.
Exactly.
So I watched that first episode, and then the second episode was like Hammond waving his dick. Yeah. And being like, you're not taking my Teal'c. Yeah. And Teal'c being like, I don't know what I'm about, but I'm a good guy. Yeah. I swear to God. And like the entire show changes in that moment. It's like, you come in, you think it's going to be these four military guys out on adventures, or Daniel and these three military guys. And then this wild card shows up, and then you're like, what are they going to do with him? What are they going to do with this specimen of a man?
Yeah.
In so many ways.
In so many ways.
And he there's a lot of, there's going to be a recurring theme in the things that I chose.
Yeah.
But everybody takes a leap of faith.
They do.
And they let this alien.
And if nothing else, Teal'c took the biggest leap of faith.
Yeah. We've taken the leap of faith. We made friends with an alien. We end on this silhouette of the team. Staff weapon in hand, a Teal'c. We've got a Jack, a Sam, a Daniel, and a Teal'c with a staff weapon headed through that gate.
I mean,
a story begins.
Well, this is not officially on my list because it's not a single moment, but just the four of them going through the Stargate.
And this is the forming of the Fellowship of the Ring.
It is,
you know, so it made a place on my list. Officially it is the Teal'c joins the squad moment is the one for me.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. What's your number 10?
So my number 10. We are actually going into Atlantis for this
one. Ooh, okay.
So this is a little bit of a slight smuggle.
Okay.
Because there are two episodes that are very thematically the same. And one is in SG-1 and one is in Atlantis.
Okay.
And they're revolving around two of my favorite characters, although McKay is not in the SG-1 episode.
Okay.
My number 10 episode is Grace Under Pressure.
Okay. I'm really glad that you have this because I'm double checking.
Was this on your runners up list?
I think it made this into my honorable mentions. Yep. This made it into my honorable mentions.
Okay. So the other episode that I had on my short list was Grace.
Okay.
Episode of SG-1 where Sam is hallucinating this
the little girl
and everything that you could emotionally pack into that little girl and seeing versions of her teammates, seeing her father and having all of these questions that a woman in her place is of course going to have about life choices she's made in life.
Yeah.
Etc.
And
then you have, but that's not even the one on my list.
Right.
But the one on my list is McKay in very much the same situation.
Yep.
On a puddle jumper that is deep submerged under the water, and he is hallucinating Sam. And the part that I love about this, not only do we get to see sort of really what McKay is made of, we infamously always say that McKay pulls out his best shit when his life is on the line.
Yep.
But even in McKay's hallucinations,
yeah,
Sam is still Sam.
Yep. Yeah, he doesn't make a weird Jessica Rabbit Sam.
Sam is still like, sure, she'll take her jacket off to get you to get where you need to go, but she's not going to go any further than that. And she's going to blatantly call you out on your shit. Yes.
That's part of what he loves about her.
It is.
Yeah.
And so I have this. And so I guess if I'm picking the moment, it's sort of that moment where Sam really is like, the many times that she is continually just like, you know, I'm a fucking hallucination.
Yeah.
Get your shit together.
Do this thing.
And sure, act like you're smarter than me.
Yeah. Whatever it takes for you to get this done and not die.
Yeah. And so this really was bringing together a lot of moments, but that is still such a beautiful bottle episode that I will watch at any point in time.
Yep.
Because I love both of those actors. I love both of those characters. And it is just an amazing two person act with the two of them.
I promise it's not just because my name is in them, but I actually looked at both of those episodes as well. And they just didn't make the cut because of, I don't know if it's just the feelings I'm in right now personally, or just this is who I am as a person and I live here.
Yeah.
But those two were definitely ones I looked at.
Also, he makes friends with a whale.
He does make friends with
a whale. I mean,
that's the might as well. It's as close as you're going to get to a dolphin.
Exactly. It's the closest I'm going to get to a dolphin in the series. So that is my number 10, Grace Under Pressure.
Cool. And so would you say it's the episode as a whole or the moment of...
I would say this is one where it is the episode as a whole. If I'm going to have to pick certain moments, it is those moments where Sam is like, put up or shut up.
Yep.
But it really is the episode as a whole in this one.
Okay.
There's just too many moments to pick a specific one.
Fair enough. Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay.
What's your number 9?
Number 9. Again, we're going back to the original series.
Okay.
Spoilers, I have a lot for the original series. We are also, again, going back to season 1.
Okay.
We're going late into season 1 to an episode called Solitude.
Okay.
Is that higher up on your list?
It is not. However, there is a specific moment associated with this episode that is in my honorable mentions.
Okay.
So when you're done, I'll bring it up.
So essentially the moment, it's cold.
Yeah.
There's a second gate.
Yep.
We're in Antarctica.
Yeah.
We're going to die if we don't cuddle.
Yep.
The moment where it's like, sir. And he's like, nope, that's my weapon. The moment
where a thousand
ships for, and really, if I could cheat, I'd be like the entire arc of Sam and Jack.
It is,
but
it's the birth of the ship.
The birth of the ship is right here, right in these frosty, frosty weather.
Yep.
And it is, again, it gives us a moment to see that Sam is a badass.
Yeah.
And that's probably why Jack likes her.
Uh-huh.
And that Sam is like, save your fucking self. And she's like, nope, I'm going to save us both.
Yeah.
Because that's who she is.
100%.
And then...
Well, also, he wouldn't have just saved himself either. Right. So, you know.
But that particular moment, if I'm going to put a fine tooth, I'm going to put a pin right in that.
Yep. Right that, in that.
That one little moment. That moment that as a teenager you hope for if you were as horny as I was. Where you're like, this is the moment. Let's take it and run with it. I know we weren't all that kid, but I know some of us were.
Some of us were.
So that's the one.
So my moment is technically not in this episode.
Okay.
It's the outtake from this episode.
Gotcha.
With Sam chipping away at this ice and Amanda Tapping's just like, I'm stuck on a glacier with fucking MacGyver.
That is kind of great.
That moment was on my honorable mentions list.
I'll take it. Any MacGyver reference you can make, absolutely, I'm here for.
Yeah, no, that is, that episode obviously has a wider bearing on the Stargate, universe as a whole, but
yeah,
it's, I'll also say, it's a bold episode to have early on in your season, in your series.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a good way to tease a will they, won't they?
Yeah.
That never will they.
that they never, they continue with the will they, won't they.
Yeah.
Even now.
which I love.
They do, because you have, even in Atlantis, like, there's pictures of Jack up on,
yeah,
in her office and things like that, and there's lines about, but you they know, never are you in a relationship? It's complicated.
Yeah.
There was...
Poor Pete never stood a chance.
Poor Pete never stood... She's a Black Widow. I mean, yeah, how many people did she get yeah, close to that yeah, die?
Goodness.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready for your number 9?
My number 9 is my moment from Stargate Universe.
Okay.
Okay?
I have a feeling it's not the same one I have. Okay.
I have a very, very, very strong feeling this is not the moment that you have.
Okay, okay.
Because this is technically a smuggle. It technically happened in Stargate Universe. My moment is when you see this beautiful ship, the USS George Hammond, and her commanding officer,
yeah,
Colonel Samantha Carter.
You fucking cheater.
It is a moment from Stargate Universe.
Yeah.
But really, no.
Officially, it is.
Yeah. Officially, it is. No, it's just seeing Sam, where she's finally... There's so many times that if she's not on the team, she's doing Area 51.
Yeah.
She's doing science, she's research mission and things like that. And so here, seeing Sam go the opposite direction and becoming the commander, and not just the commander of any ship, becoming the commander of the George Hammond.
Yeah.
Which, as we've said,
RIP and peace,
basically should just be named the Donis Davies.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
And, you know, seeing her protecting the Icarus base, seeing her go through having to leave people behind, and the end of that attack as the because the planet's about to blow and she has to save the ship and everyone else, so she has to jump before all the pilots are back.
Yeah.
She's already at this point been the leader of Atlantis.
Yeah.
You know, so this isn't the first time we've seen her in full command.
You see the wisdom that has come to Sam after yes, being part of this. This is such a great lead into my number 8. I can't wait to explain why.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but the fact that she makes this decision, these hard decisions, I 100% I'm with you on it.
Yeah.
It did not make my list, but I'm with you on it.
And I will say this, you thought my top 10 would just be the top 10 moments of Samantha Carter. It's not.
Oh,
so
okay,
I had to. There's one other moment from Universe that did almost make my list,
okay,
which I won't say. Just on the, I don't sure, think it's yours on your list, but on the off case, I won't mention it. But really, when you're talking about favorite moments of mine from Universe, it is those times where you are reminded that this is taking place in the Stargateverse.
Yeah.
And this was a way that didn't feel shoehorned.
Yep.
It felt completely natural. Of course Sam would be the commander of
right. This the is ship, just what she would be doing now. Yeah. Jack's probably retired. Yeah. Cam's still
well,
running
SG-1.
Well,
we know he's still working with home world security.
Yeah.
But yeah, not just seeing her in command of a ship, but seeing her in command of the George Hammond, I think always will. Seeing that patch,
yeah,
the George Hammond patch is always gonna get me in my soul a little bit. That's so fair. That's my number 9, Colonel Samantha Carter in command of the general, or not the general, but just in command of the George Hammond.
Of the George Hammond.
Universe technically happened in Universe.
I'm gonna let you have it. It did happen in Universe. It did not happen during the original series or
yep,
Atlantis.
Yep.
It only happened because Universe made it to air.
Exactly.
So you talk about Sam coming in later after her series, being this pillar of wisdom and strength, yep, and making the hard decisions. And that leads into my number 8 pick.
Okay.
Which I could cry at the thought of. So my number 8 pick is season 6 of Stargate, the original series, episode 12.
Oh,
Unnatural Selection.
Okay, this is not on my list.
And
so continue.
It is. God, I I think about this episode at 3 a.m. in the morning on the nights I can't sleep.
Really?
The moment when Fifth, yeah. the replicator.
Yeah.
When we use his humanity against him.
Yeah.
To save everybody.
Yeah.
And down to the very last moment, he doesn't know he's betrayed until it's too late.
Yeah.
And as they leave, after those 3 minutes, not five, Jonas and Sam are grieving and Jack has to go. It was the right decision.
It was the right decision. That doesn't make it less painful.
Doesn't make it hurt less. Yeah. And so I think it's a good lead. I think the episode of Universe you're talking about is a good lead into this, because this is where we get to see how Sam gets to yeah. those moments and knows how to make those choices.
100%.
I've never felt so bad for a replicator in my life.
I know.
It's just so heartbreaking.
It really is.
It's so heartbreaking the whole time. He's like, no, the SG are good. The Tauri, they're not bad people. You almost had a chance. Like, you almost thought, like, maybe replicators and humans could coexist. We could
get along.
But we can't.
We can't. And it seemingly never
No
will.
Matter how adorable an invasive species is, it is still an invasive species.
Yeah.
And it is not right. And it makes me sad. And therefore, Jesse goes, I was showing him this. He goes, these are your best moments? And I was like, look, best doesn't mean happiest.
No,
especially not if you know your wife.
Yeah.
Which he does. And he goes, you're right. And so this is a top moment for me. A moment that makes me feel period.
Yeah. Oh, it is one of, and this goes back to.
Yeah.
One of the beautiful things that Stargate does.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things I wish Universe had more in it is uh-huh. The ability to go from really heavy, emotionally charged, yeah. makes you question morality episodes.
Yep.
To what my number 8 is, which we'll get to in a second.
I'm ready.
You have anything more to say about Unnatural
Selection? No, I think I've covered okay. it.
Cool. Well, we go from that to my number 8.
Okay.
Which, again, could be an entire episode. However, there is one specific line in this episode that technically is my moment, which is really hard to pick. It's Sophie's fucking choice in this episode. God. But the line in this episode that I say more than anything else is from General Hammond. Oh. Spinning is so much cooler than not spinning. From episode 200.
Oh my god. I don't have 200 on my list. Okay. Surprise, surprise. Yeah.
So that is the marionette part.
Yeah.
But from the Farscape joke
yeah.
to, I mean, pick anything. The teenage Stargate, which is essentially just fucking Universe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, kind of is.
I mean, you literally basically have Scott.
I'm really glad that you have this on here, because I think it's not hard to imagine that. I looked at episodes like Wormhole Extreme and 200, and
I did too.
I don't know that they're making the cut for me, because I like feelings, yeah. and I'm emo or something.
This is on the list to represent Wormhole Extreme.
Yeah, and all those others.
And this also has this, just to give you a little bit of sad emotion behind it, you know, this aired, and then shortly afterwards we found out we yeah. weren't going to have a season 11.
That's right. I do remember hearing that.
But they earned every joke and reference uh-huh. in this episode. It is definitely an episode that is 1000% nothing but fan service.
Yeah.
And they earned it.
Yeah.
They earned every joke that they made in this episode.
Yeah.
But that line.
And it was jam-packed.
It was raspberry.
Yeah.
But specifically that line, spinning is so much cooler than not spinning.
That's sorry, AKA. There it is.
Is a line that I have said completely non-affiliated with things. where people had no clue what I was talking
just
about.
Just for yourself. Sometimes, exactly. Sometimes jokes are for ourselves.
And also, God, Claudia Black in this episode.
Yeah.
Where she's trying to pitch the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And Jack coming in, calling it, you know, ye olde orifice. Yeah. And this won the 2007 Constellation Award for Best Overall Science Fiction Film or Television Script.
Imagine that, like, the one, the silliest fucking episode is the one that wins.
It was also nominated for a Hugo Award for Best Dramatic Presentation Short Form.
Jesus.
Yeah. So episode 200, and specifically that line from General Hammond, is my number 8.
I love it. I'm on this here list. For it. Yes. Holy cow. I swear.
Yeah.
That there are moments on my list that are not from the original series.
They're just higher.
But for now.
Okay. We're still on it.
My number 7 moment is a Stargate moment. And I'm sure everybody was wondering where when Grace was going to start to get into the Daniel of it all.
Uh-huh.
Well, here we go.
Okay.
So my number 7 moment.
Yep.
We get into the Daniel of it all.
Okay.
And we go to season 8.
Yes.
Episode 18.
Okay.
Threads.
I will say Threads is not on my list.
Okay.
But Threads was on my long shortlist.
Daniel in the Astral Diner, period.
It's so good.
Just look, this is the most Twin Peaks moment.
Yes.
Of all of Stargate. And for that reason, yeah. I love it.
It's also, I watched a lot of Dead Like Me.
Yeah, same quirk, if you will.
But it's the same diner from, it's the That's set right. from yeah. Dead Like Me.
But it's just, you know, give me a moment where things are just weird.
Yeah.
Where we ponder universe and the world and what to do. But then on top of that, sure, you can lay in an actual story about an ascended Anubis and how he only made it halfway through and how he's this guy named Jim. But ultimately, remember that even the ascended don't know everything. And someone like Oma Desala sometimes needs to be offered courage.
She does. And sometimes our paladins can't bring all the courage to the battle.
Who better than Daniel himself?
So you have to bring a lore bard in.
Who better than this, like, philosophy major?
Oh my gosh.
A little bit of a blowhard.
Daniel's arc... through this series.
Well, and the way you love a good dad joke, yeah. I love a pretentious artist.
Oh, I know.
I married one. And I'm also pretentious, so I don't say that as a negative. But God, Daniel is just exactly this.
Oh,
Daniel
100%.
Is the best and worst parts of this. And I fucking eat the whole thing up. So Daniel specifically in the Astro Diner.
Yeah.
In fact, as I was writing this one out, I was like, why don't I already own a mug that says the Astro Diner on it?
We can just design it.
We need to make that.
We need to design that.
So
mug.
I need an Astro Diner mug.
Yep.
It needs some sort of tagline for, like, where the ascended, you know, stop for coffee, something better than that, but
yep.
something along
we'll
those
get,
lines.
We'll get something better than that.
Anyway, that's my number 7, Stargate, and, Threads, and Daniel and the
like,
Astro Diner.
Threads has this whole fucking other side of the episode.
Oh, yeah, where there's actually things happening. And the ending. The ending is a whole separate moment. The gang goes fishing.
Well, that's... So there's that moment.
Yeah.
What is actually on my runner-up list, because I absolutely know you will not have this on list, so I'll tell you. What is actually on my running-up list is actually going out to Jack's Pond. Specifically the one from Mobius.
Oh,
when
yeah.
there's
none of my
fish
list.
In the pond.
That's right. Yeah.
But yeah, the team going out to Jack's cabin.
I love
you. There's not enough beds for everyone. You know, someone has to share beds.
Maybe they all just share one big bed.
They probably do.
What if they just all just sleep on the floor together, like a big old sleepover?
Well, it's what they do when they're on a mission.
Right.
Exactly.
They're just all sleeping outside by the lake.
They're just all cuddling up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. so my number seven also is from SG-1. Uh-huh. I do, again, have things from other series.
Yep.
There's just so much more SG-1.
Sure. There's more to choose from.
This is also a little bit of a smuggle, and that's only because the specific moment, my moment is a very specific line.
Okay.
And
okay.
It happens in one episode. It's referencing something from a different episode.
Fair. Okay.
So the moment is in, I don't even remember what season it is,
that's okay.
But it's in Reckoning.
Okay.
And so this is the one, it's on Dakara. And so after the Jafar, all three.
Right. Okay.
And
all either is this 8, 9, or 10.
The quote is, "You blow up one sun, and suddenly everyone expects you to walk on water."
I do love this line. I do often hear this line. I'm not surprised it is on your list.
And what she's referencing is in the season 4 finale, Exodus.
Yeah.
When they, her and her dad, sort of her dad, but her dad mm-hmm. and his buddy.
I can say that officially that moment is on my honorable mentions list.
Okay.
So.
Which one? The blowing up or the line?
Exodus.
Okay,
part.
Exodus. Yeah. So yeah, the black hole that we found previously.
Yeah.
They dial a gate to the black hole and then like shove it into a sun.
Yep.
And then blow up a sun in order to destroy Apophis.
It sounds like, why don't we just blow the suns up?
Yeah.
Blow up this giant star.
And that becomes like such a running joke, because then McKay has to go blow up a whole solar system.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to keep up.
But the moment that is my number seven, you blow up one sun.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you blow up a sun, you change ranks, baby.
Exactly.
You've leveled up.
So that is like the encapsulation.
You are like an awakened magical item in D&D.
That is the encapsulation of all like Sam does science shit.
Yeah.
This is the encapsulation of what my D&D character Sam
Aims to be. Yeah.
Aims to be. She did, mind you, blow up an entire island in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And I believe this quote was thrown.
Yep.
By you.
I do remember.
In that moment as well. Sun.
Yep. I do remember this.
There is also in that world a tiny weird black
hole
portal in the sky.
We may never know.
That gnome Sam made channeling.
We just squint
Sam
and
Carter.
Not look at it. Is
that's
what, we
what
do.
We've been doing.
It's just don't grow.
So yes.
Weird hole.
The moment that Sam's blew up a sun, but very specifically the moment that every moment that people bring it up and remind her that she blew up a sun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my number seven moment.
The consistent coming back to the blowing up of the sun.
Yes.
You can't unblow up a sun.
You can't.
Yeah. Once you go, you know, bare ass off a diving board.
Exactly.
You're never not the guy who went bare ass off the diving board. She bare-assed
she
a
did.
Diving board,
she
science
did.
Speak.
Science, sciencely.
Yeah, sciencingly.
I love Sam Carter.
She's amazing.
I love her.
Okay.
Okay.
My number six moment is also to do with a son.
Okay.
However, it is not Sam Carter. I think it's fair to say this. I don't think this is a spoiler. My one universe moment.
I will tell you this is was on my long short list.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Season 1, episode 5.
This was almost my universe moment until I remembered Sam commanded the General Hammond.
I'm not surprised. Specifically the team Destiny goes through a sun.
Yeah.
Now, is this science cool? Absolutely. That's Nixie's world.
Exactly.
Here's why this is an amazing.
We have two favorite parts of this moment.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Us as an audience knows that they're not going to kill the entire cast.
Not the whole
on
cast.
On episode 5.
They might kill some cast.
Sure. They might kill people here or there. So we have this really interesting. We have this meta knowledge of like someone's going to make it. Right.
Yeah.
And then this idea comes up. The lottery of the 17.
Yep.
So you're like, oh, shit, are we going to follow these people on a shuttle? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it. And then it becomes this thing about accepting fate.
Mm-hmm.
you get to, everybody says their goodbyes.
Yeah.
17 board this shuttle. They say goodbye. Greer greets death in the way that I hope to someday greet Dreth.
I only hope I greet death just this badassly.
Naked and bare and ready.
Yeah.
And they go for it. They just accept what's before them. And then Destiny goes, motherfuckers.
Psych.
I got this.
I just needed some water.
And it's just this idea where this is the episode where we learn that Destiny is not just a setting.
Yeah.
She is a character.
She's a character in this saga. Yeah.
And what this teaches us about the acceptance of just letting go.
Yeah.
Letting your path be your path. This is what's before me, and I will move through it.
Yeah.
To the best of my... I'm not going to cry. And I will just keep moving through.
Yeah.
And I will move through a motherfucking sun if that's what it takes. And I will be better for it.
100%.
I will be re-energized by the fact that I moved through a sun and came out the other side. And here we are.
I don't know why this moment, of all the moments that we have and we'll talk about in this list, maybe it's because I just both watched and listened to The Martian. But there is, and I'm gonna paraphrase it because unfortunately I don't remember the exact quote, and I don't think it's the same exact quote with the movie and the book.
Okay.
But it's at the end when he talks about things he's learned when he was on Mars for so long on his own and how he survived there. And he goes, well, the problem as a whole was too insurmountable.
Yeah.
So I solved one small part of it. I solved one small problem. And then I solved another small problem. And then I solved the next small problem. And if you keep going, all of a sudden you will have achieved something that you didn't know you could achieve.
You are absolutely speaking my language right now, and I'm not going to cry.
I will tell you. I was listening to, I don't even remember what podcast I was listening to, and Grace knows, and anyone who's listening to this podcast knows, that the process of transitioning between homes, especially not just if you're renting, but if you were selling and buying a house, gets really stressful. And I
change
in big change. In the darkest parts of that, I listened to a podcast that was talking about that quote. It may have fucking been House of R too. And I, is sitting at my desk at work, was breaking down in tears. Yeah.
Sometimes all you can do is the one thing.
Yep.
You know, there are places in our world where they talk about doing things one day at a time.
Yep.
Sometimes it's 1 hour at a time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 1 minute at a time.
It's one small problem.
Sometimes it's one breath at a time.
Yep.
But humans are not nothing if we aren't our ability to just fucking endure.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. Woo! So what number was that for you?
That was my number six moment.
That was number six moment. Yeah. Okay, so here's where I
cheated.
No, I did not cheat. I did not cheat. Okay. I'm gonna say very specifically, number six, number five, and number four for me.
Okay.
Are all revolving around a theme.
Okay.
These three could be in any order. Okay.
That's how my three and four are like that. So I understand what you mean.
I have put these in an order.
Okay.
Only because I had to put them in an order.
Okay.
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 So don't think that the one I'm about to talk about is not
as important,
as emotionally important to me as the other two. Okay. This is a moment that you actually may have on your list higher.
Okay.
Okay. So I will reserve my right to talk about until later.
Yeah.
My number six moment
that
resonates with me in all of Stargate is the episode Meridian.
Oh, yeah. I do have this higher on
my
list.
I figured as much. So we will put a pin in that.
Yeah.
And come back later.
Yep. I do not have it at number six.
Yeah.
You may. This is interesting.
Okay.
We have at least one in common.
Yep.
As we get into,
I assume we have potentially two, three in common.
So my next two,
okay,
maybe even three, could be on your list.
Okay.
So we'll start number five.
Yes, my number five.
Also, it brings us to Atlantis.
Okay.
It brings us to season four, episode 17, Midway.
This is on my runner-up list. It was very, very close to making my list.
This one I was like, this could be.
But this was very close. And actually, my next one on the couple, one coming up, is actually close to that episode, but not that episode.
This is, if we're going to come back to the idea of growth and people coming back later to show growth, Ronan and Teal'c fighting.
This was so close to being on my list. I cannot tell you.
There's nothing... It's so beautiful to see Teal'c come back as the wizened, older, calmer...
His Braytac.
...version. The Braytac to Ronan's little punk bullshit motherfucker. Here's the way my notes read. Teal'c meets a match.
Yeah.
Becomes a mentor.
Yeah.
And Ronan learns begrudgingly that he isn't alone.
Yeah.
Also, Hawkeye fighting Kratos versus Khal Drogo.
I know.
Who loses? Kratos versus Khal Drogo.
I know. It's,
everybody fucking wins.
Everyone wins.
I mean, I don't even know what to say other than, like, yes, this does have an emotional resonance for me. Most of the things I watch have an I'm not going to lie.
This is just awesome.
It is just a fucking cool, badass guys being badass at each other and going, oh shit, who's going to win?
Yeah, because not only do they spar with each other, but then they fight with each other.
Yeah.
Like on the same side.
Yeah.
It's so, and you're sit there and you're like, bitch, you're not. They're not trapped on Midway Station.
You're trapped with them.
They're trapped. Yeah. You're trapped with fucking Ronan and Teal'c.
Yeah. I have used this energy so many times with my little with my little gnome.
Yep.
Because we have two little gnomes in this campaign who are very different.
Yes.
And I have channeled my version of this energy
so often.
So often with her, because it's like, no. No. You're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah, you're in a small contained space with a literal fireball. Have fun with that.
But yeah, right smack in the middle, the most fun episode, I think, of Atlantis.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not? Because so much everyone fun. In the room, it's like
they're taking bets.
It's like the minute that Teal'c shows up on here. Anyone who's met Teal'c from Atlantis is like, ooh. And anyone who's met Ronis, like Sam's like, oh, I cannot wait for these two. You know, when you in real life meet a person that is like, I can't wait for you to meet this other person.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what happens if you two assholes ever meet.
Because you're so similar.
Yeah.
And it's going to go so well. So badly. Yeah.
This is going to go so interesting.
It's so good. Anyway, this was really hard to not have on my list.
Yeah, this is, if it was fan service, fine, I'll take it.
I'm not against fan service.
Yeah. Okay, so what's your number five?
Okay, my number five also could be on your list.
Okay.
It is technically, this is a two-parter, but it is technically the second part of a two-parter.
Ooh, okay, I think I know which one. Okay, tell me.
Heroes.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that is on my list.
We have to pause about that one too. Yeah. That is the other one that I assumed both of those were on your list.
Yeah. Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So are we at my number four now?
We're at your number four.
Okay. So my number three and my number four were a little bit interchangeable.
Yep.
However, my number four, I don't know if it made it to your list, but we'll see.
Okay.
Atlantis.
Yep.
Season 3, episode 17. Sunday.
Yeah, we can't talk about that yet.
Okay.
Well, we're about to, actually.
So here's the thing. Yeah. My number three and my number four are the ones you just mentioned.
Yeah. So that was your number four?
That was my number four.
Yeah. So my number four is Sunday.
Yeah.
So this is why I said Daniel's death, Janet's death, Carson's death.
Yeah.
I can't they're all just exist all three together. Yeah. But if we have to, if I had to rank them, this is the rank that I gave them.
Yeah.
So my number four is Sunday.
Yeah. My number four is also Sunday. So we somehow managed to line that one up. I know.
We did. Of all the deaths in Stargate, this one has always hit me the hardest.
Yeah.
Both Janet and Carson.
Yeah, and honestly, we can talk about them together if you want. If we're right here, we're right here.
But both Janet and Carson go out doing what they do.
Yep. Reminding us that what they do, they keep everyone safe.
Yes.
But they're risking just as much as everyone. It's not like you're running home to mom to put on a Band-Aid.
No.
You know, like, they're also out here.
And Carson would not leave.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm going to get this done. And the shitty part is that it was done and he just couldn't wait. And in some ways, him not waiting saved other two people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. He continued to save lives.
And if I'm going to pick, there's so many moments in this episode that I could pick as my top.
Yeah.
There is, you know, just him asking everyone to go fishing.
Yeah. It's so heartbreaking.
It's so heartbreaking. And I'm like, I just want to go give you a hug.
Somebody go fishing with this man.
Yeah.
It is a nice reminder.
McKay saying goodbye to him on the pier.
Yeah.
But my top moment, and it's only because of the emotional resonance that this instrument will always bring to my soul, is them bringing the Scottish flag draped casket back through the Stargate with the bagpipes playing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Because hearing bagpipes is like hearing taps for me. It's the same thing. It's always going to, especially when it's playing sort of that dirge.
Yeah. It's also got this great production value. It's got that, like, the blast behind him where he literally goes out like a hero.
Yes.
With this huge bang. What an honorable way to go as a person whose job it is to save lives.
Yeah. And, you know, this started a full campaign, the Save Carson Beckett campaign, which is why we get, you know, clone Carson back in the future.
Yeah.
Like Janet, this one came completely unexpectedly.
Yeah.
In a show where, you know, honestly, this is a show where you're pretty sure everyone's going to come back at the end of the episode.
Most of the time, it's that comfort show that, and it's all wrapped up at the end.
And in this case,
it just wasn't.
And this one specifically is one that
do you want to go right into heroes?
Yeah, unless heroes, you have anything else number to say. Three. Yeah, unless you have anything else to say about Sunday.
No, I think you've covered it beautifully. It's just Carson making the ultimate, also that tech, RIP and peace, that I one know. Tech
I know.
Goes out with him.
I know.
But it's, to me specifically, it's the moment where they're like, where I think it's McKay tells him, clear everybody. He goes, yep, I'm clearing everybody. Except myself. Myself,
and then the nurse stays. Because
that's
as well.
The moment that he makes the choice.
Yep.
It's the moment that he makes that choice.
And just to know, the Piper plays the Dark Island. Nice. Which also is a little, because Atlantis is the island.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
But apparently it's a common Scottish funeral song. That Carson goodbye. And then that leads right into Heroes Part 2, which is such a similar death for Janet.
Here's the thing that makes this one so different to me, and that makes it so, I understand this feeling.
Yeah.
I understand this feeling a lot without getting too into the weeds. There's this documentary bullshit happening.
Yes.
And they're dealing with a lot of grief. The crew, everyone left, and we don't quite know why.
Yeah.
But it's like they've got to keep doing their job.
Yeah, this episode.
And that hits so close.
And this episode is framed in that we know someone we know has died.
Yep.
But we don't know who.
And they do. So they do this in a way that is so cruel to the rest of the team. Because not only. One. How often is Janet out there? How often is she stuck in these positions? We know this thing went poorly. This fight went poorly. We get these flashes of like, oh, shit, Jack is hit.
Yeah.
There's Janet to cover. Oh, shit, this other person. There's Janet to cover. And you've always got the person to cover. And it's when your person who covers, I might cry. The person that is like the person that everyone goes to is suddenly no longer available.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck, who's going to be our grown up now?
Yeah. And to touch on the other thing, you know, we don't necessarily work in documentaries.
Right.
And we're not necessarily people out there in the fields, but we're so intrinsically tied, you know, to journalism and to that idea that even in the shittiest situations, there's still a job to do.
Yeah.
And it sometimes sucks when your job is to report on the suck.
Yeah.
But.
And to work through the suck.
And to work through the suck.
Yeah.
And to honor the situation and to honor the people by telling their story.
Yeah.
And to telling the story of the situation as best you can in this case, considering everything is top secret.
Yeah.
And yeah. This one hits, while Carson hits hardest for me, this one also hits so hard because this is the first, you know, Kowalski, we didn't know Kowalski very well.
No, yeah. And he was a soldier.
And he was a soldier.
Not that Janet wasn't.
I mean, we saw Janet kick some serious fucking ass when needed to.
You know, in our minds, Janet was always a medic.
And that's the thing. Like, there's... In situations like these, you know, like, you don't go after the healers.
No.
You know?
Yeah. And here they are, both of the healers, giving everything they got.
Yep.
Woo!
So, that's my heavy.
Okay, let's take a breath. How are we doing?
So that was your number...
That was my number three.
Your number three, okay.
So we've made it through my number four and my number three.
Cool, cool, cool. So let's spin the topic a little bit, because my number three...
Okay, let's do it.
...is definitely in a different vibe.
Woo! We need it.
Yes. My number three happens to be the very last episode of SG-1.
Oh, yay!
Unending. Yeah. It is the entire time they're stuck in this bubble and everything that happens to them, but very specifically, the montage during Have You Ever Seen the Rain?
Okay, so literally that is my number 12.
Yeah.
My honorable mention number 12 spot, and I wrote, everyone is sad for 50 years.
Everyone is sad for 50 years. But at the same time, not everyone is sad because they have these moments. And, and there is that moment where Sam has been problem solving and trying to get them out of this for so many years. And finally, she's just like, you know what? I'm going to learn to play the cello.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Vala and Daniel.
God, that whole thing.
And to see her on rollerblades going around the ship.
Yeah.
To see Landry growing plants. Yeah. To having those moments where Cam, out of frustration, destroys his room.
Yeah.
Having Teal'c just be fucking Teal'c. That moment where, without words, Teal'c comes in and just puts his arms around Sam.
Yeah.
Who just leans in and cries on his shoulder.
Yeah.
This is to me still one of the best, I'm heavily biased, mm-hmm. but one of the best series finales.
Oh, I would agree with you.
Of a show, the way that they are like, this is going to be related to the storyline. However, we're just going to have a moment for our characters.
Endings are hard. Endings are so hard.
And it's really hard to stick the landing on a series, but I can't tell you to me a series that has stuck the landing this well. And to have that at the very end when Teal'c's the only one who remembers all of it.
Never has the show understood what it's about than this one in the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, yeah. There's been some other great ones, but this is right up there. Yeah.
And because this song is a song we've heard before, but it's not so frequently played.
It's not Time of Your Life by Green Day in the early 2000s. It's not Time of Your Life by Green Day,
but it's one that you'll hear it in the wild, but not so often that it's overdone or has other emotions correlated with it. But every time you hear the song, every time I hear Have You Ever Seen the Rain?
Yeah.
I immediately go back into this moment of not just the moment and not just that montage and not just these characters, but like where I was when I was watching it. And the fact that, you know, this came out, shortly after about a year after I graduated college.
Yeah.
And it was just, all of a sudden felt like also this whole part of my life
was ending.
Also ending.
Yeah.
I
know that feeling.
Yeah. It was, you know, because I was, 22?
Yeah.
You know, I think when this aired, and it was my entire teens.
Yeah.
You know? And college that this was on. So not only does this for the moment and for what they go through and all of these character moments that are contained in this, but just also the personal feelings that I had, you know, watching this and the feelings that came up. But if I have to pick a moment, it is the montage.
I am so excited to see what hits your 2 and your 1.
Yeah.
If that is your number 3.
That's my number 3.
I can't wait.
That's my number 3.
I can't wait.
So I'm excited to hear your top 2. Like, I know one of them, but I don't know where it is.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I struggled with the order on these two. And I don't know if this one will be surprising to you or not, but it almost became my number 1.
Okay.
But out of sheer loyalty, my number 1 stayed my number 1. Just sheer loyalty.
Yeah.
But my number 2, I will tell you this. It hit in the moment. It took a day to resonate.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it all week, even before I record. And then I thought about it all week after the record. And then I kind of let it slide under. And then it comes back to my mind like the moment with Fifth. I'm sure this isn't on your list, so I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah, keep going, because I guarantee you it's not, because...
To the point where... When I was going through like the wiki and kind of just reminding myself of some of these episodes, even reading through the wiki of this one made me bawl.
Yeah.
Like I was just sitting there bawling. Rodney Says I Love You.
Oh.
Season 5, episode 6.
Yeah.
The Shrine. And
this is a beautiful, beautiful God, moment.
I am going to cry. Yeah. So, the concept of dementia and Alzheimer's is something that I am already very much affected by.
Yeah.
Easily. It is one of the things in life that scares me.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of those where I know it's coming.
Yeah.
I will do whatever the fuck I can to stave it off.
Yeah.
But it's coming. It's come for women down my line. I know it's coming for us. And to watch the smartest man in the room.
Yeah.
Just slowly degrade and to watch Keller. It also helps. It also brings you Keller, this Keller moment that also comes in the If you've watched The Last of Us, it's the episode that has Nick Offerman in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is this concept of when there is someone in your life that you love, there is nothing harder than watching them in pain.
Yeah.
And she is literally recording all of these things, watching his pain. The episode is beautiful. All these things happen that are very interesting to those who may not be so emotionally affected, but still affected. Day one, day two, day three, all the way to day 18. There's these ideas. There's ways we could do. We got to deal with Wraith. Here we go. But the moment that gets me is when you come back to the base. Everyone's fine. We've made it out alive. And Keller finds this moment where Rodney says, I love you.
Yeah.
And she keeps it as her own secret.
Yep.
It's just hers to have. And even if he never says it again.
He said it there.
He said it there. And she's got that. So that is my number two. Just Rodney says, I love you.
It really is. It really is a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
And I think the book ends, while it's not at number one, the book ends of McKay that we have on this,
yeah,
between Grace Under Pressure,
yep,
and that moment in the shrine,
yeah, it's just a reminder that even our science friends have emotions in
even
there.
If we never,
even
want
if
to
they
admit
refuse
it.
To tell you, you know they're there.
Yes,
and as the feeler, it is our job to learn to keep them safe.
Yes,
to keep the feeling safe. And protect them.
It's a beautiful episode.
Yeah.
Beautiful moment.
My
number two
is
actually also from Atlantis.
Okay.
We are going all the way back to the beginning.
Woo!
It's technically in Rising Part 2.
Okay.
But again, Rising is normally as a single long episode, so it happens right around the middle. This is a perfect example of you don't need words to have a strong emotional impact.
Yep.
You just need a soundtrack and some really beautiful effects.
Yep.
My number two moment is when the city of Atlantis, even see, this is the part that I'm getting emotional about. It's the moment the city of Atlantis rises up from the ocean floor. Yep.
I struggled not.
I have chills in my body just talking about this. Rises up. It's such this tension because they arrive in this city and there's so little power.
Yeah.
And they just are frantically figuring out what to do because
the shield is
not going to hold off any longer. And so they're trying to find this other place to go. And they made it to the city of Atlantis. And now they might have to leave it.
Yeah.
And much like Destiny diving into the sun, where it's like, no,
I
bitch,
got
I got
this.
You.
Yeah.
Just as power readings are going critical, Atlantis is released from the ocean floor and rises. And it is so beautiful.
Yep.
It is such, you feel the relief in everyone, the wonder in everyone. And it is the start of an entirely new adventure.
Yep.
It's
the fucking city of Atlantis.
It's the fucking city of Atlantis.
Yeah.
And for all of the like mythological impact of that.
Yeah.
The moment the Atlantis rising.
Yeah.
Is my number two moment.
I love that. So that moment was one of my harsh cuts that I had to do.
It's hard.
It was really hard, but I was one of my, like, I gotta make the cut. I gotta make the cut. Once I started to see a theme come together with my tops, it kind of had to make that cut.
Yeah.
But I will agree. It is amazing. It is. She's the star.
She is the star of the series.
Yeah.
talk about much like Destiny, you know, your environment being such a critical main player your
not
series.
Just here to be pretty. I'm here to provide feelings.
However, unlike Destiny, Atlantis is fucking gorgeous.
Destiny brings her own little charm.
She does.
She's clunky, she's spunky, but she's not a beauty queen.
Oh my, but Atlantis is a fucking, every single, there is something about the look of that series that is so spawned by the look of that city and the set design that they did.
Can I get married there? Can I have my wedding there?
Can
How do I do this?
Live there?
Yeah. Okay, my number one is
What's your
no
number
surprise.
One? Yep.
Comes to no surprise to anybody anywhere.
Nope.
My number one, I am still Daniel Faithful at the end of days. Season 5, episode 21, Meridian. Yep. And it is just the whole entire Meridian-ness of Meridian.
All of it.
Leading into Daniel taking Oma's hand. I feel like he takes her hand.
I can't remember.
And walking off into the Stargate. Is the way that I see it.
Just turns into a tentacle monster.
Well, and it just, he begins his journey through Ascension.
Yeah.
Which really lasts for like 4 seasons.
Yeah.
But just this, so apparently this concept of Daniel, look, so the story goes this. Daniel gets hit with Nequadria. Or Nequadria is causing trouble. Daniel does he shoot the window or something? And basically throws himself over the bomb of Nequadria to protect everyone else, to avert a nuclear catastrophe. I think, if I read this right, and I'll have to look it up while you're talking at some point.
Yeah.
This was based on a real person who did this with radium? Or some other
potentially,
thing?
Potentially, yeah.
But I'll have to look it up. But anyway.
Yeah. So it's involving the 1946 demise of Lewis Slotin, a Canadian physicist who perished while attempting to manually dismantle 2 half spheres of plutonium.
Dang. So one, I like the nod to the real person.
Yeah.
And just how long it takes for him to go, like he just kind of just suffers for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a grisly, grisly death.
It's a grisly death, but here's the part that gets me, right? It's this Daniel, this guy who's like, I'm the smart guy. I know the smart things that are not science things. I'm confident in my smarts and these things that I know. Mm-hmm. I know people. I know how people work. People things. I don't relate to that at all. And then Oma comes and she's like, are you ready to work with a sister? And he's like, oh, not me. I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
And that, I'm like, oh, you are a real
And at the You're same at the same time that conversation is going on, you have his teammates, the closest people to him in this world, telling him how much not only has he changed their lives, but how much he has changed the course of history.
Yeah.
How much he has affected not just Earth, but has affected other planets.
Yeah.
Affected the galaxy.
Well, he sits there and thinks that he's not good enough.
Yes.
And ultimately him taking this literal leap of faith.
Yeah.
And beginning this journey of like, what, there's so much more. What is that thing that Jesse always tells me? Anything could happen, even something really good.
Yeah.
Even something great. And so a lot of my episodes were really about what Stargate teaches us about going for it.
Yeah.
Believing in what you are, believing in what you stand for, knowing what truth is, mm-hmm. and continuing to seek it in all these different forms. And courage and having the courage to continue. So that's what I've learned from this show. And that's why my top moments are my top moments. Yes, we had fun with puppets. Yes, Teal'c volunteered for Donut.
Yeah.
Yes, we had all these other amazing things. But this is the one. This is the thing that gets me. This concept.
And I think that actually has some similarities in a different scale. That the idea of just going for it with mm-hmm. my number one.
Okay, I'm ready.
So my number one, it is a two-parter again.
Yeah.
If you have to pick it, we'll pick just part two.
Sure.
Because that's where most of the action happens. For so many reasons, it is Lost City Part 2.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that one.
And
I didn't think this was on my list. I knew it was going to be in my top 10. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize until I started going through here how high it was going
to
be.
Wow. That's so interesting to me.
So you not only have the battle over Antarctica.
Yep.
You already have talking about taking a leap of faith.
Yeah.
Jack has already had the knowledge of the ancients downloaded into yep. his brain a second time. He's been through this before and he knows exactly what's going to fucking happen mm-hmm. to him. And so he did that in part one. Yeah. Daniel was going to go do it. And Jack's like, let's no. see whose brain's more sacrificial here.
Yeah.
Accurate or not. And so you start the episode with humor.
Always.
With, you know, just Daniel waiting for Jack to understand ancient. He's like, that's not how the fuck it works. But he's filling out his crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
With Procle Rouge Teonas. Although he did answer celestial bodies as Uma Thurman.
Yeah, I mean.
So you have just those moments of absolutely on-brand, fast-paced snark humor between Jack, yeah. Sam, and Daniel. You have how much this episode impacts. I mean, this episode is the backdoor pilot for Atlantis.
Yep.
We learn about ZPMs. We learn about the fact that Atlantis is out there. We later learn Cam was here.
Yes. Yeah.
And was a vital part of this.
Yeah.
We meet alternate Weir.
Yeah, that's right. Other Weir.
We have Hammond's commanding Prometheus. Like, there is so much in this episode. And this is the one episode I went back and rewatched. And it just made me realize where it's this encapsulates. There is an amazing moment where, like, some turncoat Jaffa, who's working for Anubis, comes and yeah. stabs Braytac in Fuck. The symbiote pouch. And he's like, you made a fucking mistake.
Yep.
I don't carry a symbiote anymore.
Yeah, you fucked
and just
it.
Kicks this young kid's ass and then literally is laying there about to die. And Jack now has healing powers and saves Braytac. Like, yeah. come on.
Yeah.
This episode has so much.
This episode has everything.
And so it really is everything that I love about Stargate encapsulated in an episode. And it's beautiful. And so my number one is Lost City.
Woo! That's a good one.
Yeah.
I could rewatch that right now.
It's real good.
I feel like we definitely had a little bit of themes.
Yeah.
Throughout our time. Now, okay, but now I'm curious.
Yeah.
Did we miss any of your honorable mentions?
We did miss one of my honorable mentions.
Okay, which ones?
We did. The main one that made it off my long list onto my short list of honorable mentions was another one that was very difficult for me to cull.
Okay.
And that is when we first meet and see the creation, the origin story of Michael.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That one was hard.
And Taylor's role in that, Carson's role in that,
yep.
Weir's role in that. That wasn't Weir. Anyways, yeah. That's just, no, it was Weir. I'll remember. Anyway, that whole.
That whole arc.
That whole arc. But specifically meeting Michael.
Michael was on my list and it was one of my harshest cuts. I feel like you and I have swapped roles because my unmentioned honorable mention is the sheer just chaotic joyride of our introduction to Vala.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Maldoran.
Oh my
in
god.
Prometheus Unbound.
Prometheus Unbound is after that episode, you're like, well, Vala has to fucking come back.
Yes.
Claudia Black has to be on this show.
Yeah. Who is this woman that's making us all sit up straight in our seats?
She is
such
a tour de force.
Yeah.
I feel like, and I don't want to put words in Claudia's mouth, but I feel like she would agree there is something when she played that role, she was like, there's something here.
I have a secret and you'll never know it. And that's how it's kind of how she plays it.
Yeah.
So Prometheus Unbound. And then my other one was Abyss. Because every Daniel is Ascended episode originally was on my list. But this one was also just kind of, I love the way this was shot. I love how fucking upside down everything is.
Beautifully done.
Yeah. Anyway.
I had things like 1969. Just the whole insanity of 1969. Yeah. I had Duet.
I had Duet too.
Because it's so...
Yeah,
it's just it's a fucking comedy farce.
My last one, and then I'll let you do the whatever else you've got was Lifeline.
Oh, Lifeline's good.
Where we just lose Weir.
Yeah,
where she's just no longer a replicator now.
She's gone.
Yeah.
Oof. I also had Poisoning the Well, but I couldn't leave that on my list because Sunday was already on my list. But Poisoning the Well is so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also had, this is purely for nerd joy in my soul. Uh-huh. And so I knew it couldn't make my full list.
I hope it's what I think it is.
It's Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson. It is Brainstorm.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the sheer, it's Bill Nye.
I was trying
to. Sure, Neil deGrasse Tyson, but also mainly Bill Nye.
I was sitting there going, what is this episode called again? And I was like, I searched Rodney Says I Love You.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, are you looking for the episode Brainstorm? I'm like, no. And then I'm like, Rodney Atlantis, I love you. Oh, do you want Brainstorm? It's like, no. Please stop giving me that episode. I know what I want. So, yeah.
The one other one that came really close to making my list.
Yeah.
But when it came down to it, okay, so there's two that almost made the list. One of them that came down to it is a top Stargate moment.
Okay.
And it not necessarily my, like, a top resonant with me, and that's Fifth Race.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
The one quote that I think was the hardest call for me was, I'm in the middle of my backswing from Window of Opportunity.
I was trying to find a way to put Window of Opportunity like, on the list.
The moment he just takes, he turns in his resignation and just like,
and kisses Sam
down.
That was going to be the one. And the I was whole like,
montage in Window of Opportunity.
It was like too many, but not enough all at once.
I know. So 200 took Window of Opportunity spot.
If I was going to choose a fun episode, it would have been that one for me.
The moment he makes a smiley face with the mustard and ketchup.
Yeah. To me, it's the I resign and I kiss Sam.
In the middle of my backswing. So I also had Destiny Wakes Up. But
it's a good opening shot.
But if I'm going to... But when you try to compare that to the opening of
Atlantis,
it pales.
Yeah, in comparison. I agree. Woo!
So yeah, that was our...
our top 10.
Our top moments. So we had three shared.
With, yes.
And those and three...
all the deaths.
Are the exact three that I assume we had shared.
Yeah, because you can't not have them. Those are pretty important.
They're just so emotionally resonant.
Yeah. Oh my God, what the hell are we going to do now?
Well, that part we still have to figure out.
Yeah. We'll have something.
Yeah, we'll have something in 2 weeks for you.
We'll see you guys for sure.
Yeah.
For now, go watch some Stargate.
Absolutely.
In whatever fashion you need. Do you need some emotional...
catharsis?
Catharsis? Follow Grease's list. Do you need just some interesting science things? Follow Nixie's list. Maybe that's what we'll do next time. Maybe we'll just curate some top fives.
Yeah.
Top five funny moments. We will guide you through Stargate. Like, we are the little AI that builds your playlist on a Monday morning.
Because there is definitely a playlist that involves Window of Opportunity.
Yeah.
200. Yurgo.
Yeah. What is the Irresistible?
Irresistible. Duet.
All right. That's what we'll do.
Okay.
For the next one, we will do your curated playlist of episodes.
And then we, at some point, we'll get back to deep dives into other subjects. But this is just
it's
our post.
Yeah. our post-Stargate Stargate-ness.
Yeah.
We're not ready to say goodbye.
We're not ready to say goodbye yet.
Thank you guys for listening. If you made it this far, you know where to find us. You can email us at there'snoplaceliketerra@gmail.com.
Or patreon.com/ There's No Place Like Terra.
See you guys in 2 weeks with
something.